Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up later on the programme, we'll be looking forward to the small matter of the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarter-final, where, of course, Donegal are making the short trip into Celtic Park to take on the reigning Ulster champions in the last eight stage of the Provincial Championship. The game's on Saturday evening. It will, of course, be live here on Highland. But in the meantime, we'll be looking forward to that tie with former Donegal player, Ulster Championship winner and 2012 All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee. That's coming up later on in the programme. But we're going to start with soccer, and action in the League of Ireland continues for the North West sides this weekend. It's a few big days for Derry City and their Premier Division title aspirations. They host both Shamrock Rovers and St Patrick's Athletic on a Friday and Monday. Well, in the first division, Finn Harps are making their longest trip of the season as they head to Cove Ramblers on Friday evening. Well, time to look forward now to those games. Joining us on the programme tonight is former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. As always, Declan, welcome along to the airwaves of Highland.
Glad to be here.
Well, listen, Declan, we're going to look forward to the games for the North West sides. We'll start, as always, with the local side, as in Finn Harps. They are on the road down to Cork to play Cove Ramblers. They already know all about Cove. Cove, of course, taking victory against them earlier in the season, and what was the first defeat at the time of the campaign for Harps. And Harps are now going into this game down in Cove off the back of the second defeat against Athlone. So listen, this could prove to be a tricky enough encounter on the road for Darren Murphy's side.
Yeah, listen, every game you play, ushering away from home is difficult. I was in Finn Park at the last match for Cove, turned them over. Very scrappy affair indeed. And Cove don't play very attractive football. It's very back to front. It's the old style. It's set plays. It's throwing the ball the length of the pitch unnecessarily, so it's about getting the ball in the box and causing problems. And they did cause problems that night, obviously got away with a 1-0 victory. Last year we played them twice down there. We were well comfortably beaten twice, 5-1 and 4-1. I know obviously different team, different players, and this year's results have been a lot better. But yeah, listen, not an easy place to go. Never easy. Their form hasn't been good at home. They haven't recorded too many big victories this year so far. So hopefully that's an omen for a good positive result and performance by the Harps and go down and get 3 points, which leads it into a difficult week then against Cork, obviously the following week. But it's important away from home as you put in, you start really well, give nothing silly away. And, defensively, we have been good, even though we lost last week and Athlone 1-0. You're only conceding one goal, which is good away from home. And that's how you need to go down to those hard, difficult venues to make sure you're nice and tight and give nothing away, and hopefully you can get something on the other side. But yeah, listen, it's a difficult match. As I said, every game is difficult away from home, but they're well capable of going down to Cove and getting 3 big points.
Yeah, it's an old travel. It's an old slog of a travel, rather, down to St. Coleman's Park, the longest trip of the year. Does that play a factor come game time, does it, Declan?
Yeah, listen, I suppose 15 years ago it was a slog. And we used to go into a coaster bus and there might be, 20 of us in there, and it's a 7-hour trip down the Cove and you're hopping in and everybody's jammed in like a, really, really tight together, and you have bags everywhere. And, so the roads weren't as good as they are now, and you're having the same comforts in buses, and you travel down, play the match, and then hop in the bus and drive straight back up again. So I suppose in a wee bit, the journey's better, buses are better, roads are better, the infrastructure's better. So it makes it a wee bit easier in players. But listen, away from home is a long trip for sure. But it depends on your mentality and how you want to, go down there. If you're in there, loads of confidence and know that you're going to put in a good performance, and that's key. But I think it's got a lot easier for the players compared to years ago when we used to go down those long trips and it was a lot longer than it is now. But listen, it's a difficult match to go away, long distance for players and supporters and management. But, I think putting a good performance and get 3 points and stay second at the table would be brilliant.
Yeah, that victory that Cove had over Harps is actually their only victory so far in this campaign. They haven't won at home yet. But from a Harps point of view, Declan, you've watched them several times this season. Listen, this campaign is totally different to where they were in the last campaign that this time last year. What has impressed you about how maybe the squad of Harps has evolved and the way they're playing their football this year and taking on the challenge?
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're 10 games in. We're nearly a third of the season gone, you know. So invariably down through the years, positions you're in now will probably dictate where you end up towards the end of the season. You know, maybe one or two places might change around. So we are in a good position. You know, we have played reasonably well throughout the whole season. I don't think we've been dominant where we were really, really dominant for a whole, you know, 90 minutes. But we've played well in spells. We had a wee bit of quality up top and we scored really important goals. Defensively, we're better. We're not conceding as much. We're not as soft. You know, so it's been really well. 5-1s, 3 draws, 2 losses, you know. So we have left points behind us, I would think, against Kerry at home. Should have picked up points. Probably Cove at home probably should have picked up points as well. So, you know, there are games where, you know, we should have been picking up 3 points at home. And, you know, if you turn that around, like, we're not that far off, you know, where Cork is. But I think this team will grow and get better as we go. Definitely better defensively. Better quality player in top end of the pitch, a bit more pace too and penetrate than last season. So it's, you know, it started very, very well. Can be better. Absolutely can get better, you know, with the players we have. Obviously, you need a wee bit of luck along the way. You need to make sure your key players are away from injury and don't get injured, you know. So, you know, that kind of, like, Ryan Rooney's back in again now, which is a big help to him. He was a big loss last season as well. So we can get the best out of him. That'll make us a lot better as well. So making sure your top players play. Dave Colley came in and scored important goals. Tony McNamee has been very good so far this season, so he needs to keep that going as captain of the team. So, yeah, listen, it's important. Success, Eddie going up top has been very good as well. So we need to keep him, you know, banging on goals and being a threat on the top end of the pitch. But defensively, you need to be good, and we have been defensively good this season.
Yeah. Well, Harps will be hoping to keep that good defensive record intact this weekend when they go to Cove on Friday evening as they look to maintain their second spot in the table. In the other games, Bray Wanderers play Treaty. The leaders, Cork City, are taking on Basement Club Longford Town. Kerry are meeting Athlone Town, and probably a fixture which could be the tie of the games in the first division is third against fourth, with William O'Connor's UCD heading to Wexford FC. Declan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, UCD, you know, you're going to get UCD Williams, a young squad of players. We have 2 players up with him from last season's squad and the year before, you know, so up from Sligo. But it's a young, vibrant, loads of energy you get from UCD, always looking to try to play football the right way. So they've been very good. Wexford, after probably a bad start, have come good in the last while, and, you know, they've got good results. So, you know, that's a big, big test for both those teams, you know. So, and again, you just don't know. On any given day, you just don't know who's going to win these fixtures, because it's been a very, very up and down from all teams in the league, not just these two teams. But, you know, so you just don't know from 1 week to the next who's going to win, who's going to draw, or who's going to lose, you know. So you're expecting, obviously, UCD maybe to be good enough. But they've been slow starters so far this season. They'll obviously get better as well as the season goes, like everybody else. So, but Wexford have got better in the last while. They started off poorly, as I said, and they'll be looking to get 3 points as well. So you just don't know how that game would go, but it's a big match for both teams. And, you know, what's the most important thing, for, I suppose, from Van Hart's perspective, is let's look after ourselves, make sure we put in a good performance and get 3 points and stay up there in second place away from those two teams.
Yeah. Let's move into the Premier Division then. And there's some massive games for some massive sides in the top flight of Irish football this weekend, including Derry City. They are at home in the matches on Friday and on Monday. St Patrick's Athletic are coming on Monday for Derry, but before that, they've probably got their biggest game of the year so far against Shamrock Rovers at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. So if Derry are going to be in the mix come the end of the season, could this be a telling fixture?
Yeah, listen, I suppose at the end of the day, Oisín's 3 points. You know, it's a big, big match, obviously, psychologically for both teams. And they drew up in Tala earlier in the season. So this is an opportunity. Last year, their performance was very good at home and against Shamrock Rovers. So, yeah, listen, I mean, Shelburne, we know, has been leading the way in 21 points. Derry are a point ahead of Shamrock Rovers, who are 15, and Derry are 16. So it's very, very close. It's important to try to keep that gap from themselves and Shamrock Rovers. So Derry will be doing everything in power, obviously, to get 3 points. It's a big match. Last week, they were away to Drogheda, on the level of chances were created and the performance that they put in, they should have won the game, but they ended up getting the draw at 2-2 with a late draw at a United goal. But yeah, listen, you know, they have players going back from injury, so they haven't been at their best in regards to the quality that, of players that were missing. You know, so Patrick Hoban coming back in, see Patrick McLennan, he was on the bench as well there last week. So there's players that, you know, you need to get the best out of, keep them fully fit as well. But hoping we'll be a big help and get him back on the pitch. So hopefully he'll be back quite soon. So I don't know if he'll be back for this one or not, but I know he's back training. So they would like to get that one. But it's not going to be easy against Shamrock Rovers, who have started very poorly by their standards, but have come good in the last four or five matches where they've won back-to-back ones, you know. So they're starting to gallop into that distance. And, you know, it's important Derry put in a big performance, try to stop them, or even get a victory. But it's 3 points, a long way to go in the season, but it's important to throw in a marker to the rest of the league and to Shamrock Rovers from a Derry perspective that they're here and they're fighting hard, and they'll go all the way to the end of the season. So it's just sending a marker to everybody else in the league and Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, what do you think will be a realistic achievement for Derry out of their two games, Friday and Monday, against two of the big Dublin sides and Rovers and Pats? Well, is 6 points achievable in two tough games for them?
With the quality of players that Derry City have at their disposal, 6 points is definitely possible. But it's two difficult ones, you know. I mean, you could go end up beating Shamrock Rovers, taking it one game at a time, and then going and beating St Pat's. Absolutely, they're well capable of doing that. But on top of that, it depends on the performance of the players and how they perform. We know that the Brandon Well is going to be full with a massive crowd, and the atmosphere will be good. So if they can get the crowd behind them, they can definitely turn over Derry City and then bring that into the Monday's match against St Pat's, and they're well capable of turning over St Pat's as well, who form has improved as well. They were slow starters and they're starting to come good as well, sitting in 14 points, a point behind Shamrock Rovers. So we know that they're a good quality team as well, but Derry are well capable of getting 6 points. But on top of that, if they lose to Shamrock Rovers, they're also well capable of losing to St Pat's and getting no points out of these two games. So it's a massive 3 or 4 days for the club, like really, really is. It makes a massive difference because, as I said, Derry are in 16 points, Shamrock Rovers are in 15, St Pat's are in 14, and nobody's talking about Shelburne, and they're just working away, and they're in 21 points. I mean, they're five ahead of Derry City currently, and if Derry City lose and say Shamrock Rovers once, that obviously throws that up to 8 points. And so it's, you know, it's all about, we all think it's about Derry City, Shamrock Rovers, and St Pat's, but nobody's talking about Shelburne. Shelburne are working away and getting points from the board. And, you know, the gap gets bigger and bigger. They could end up going on and going this league. You just never know.
Well, in saying that then, Declan, we'll talk about Shells because it's a big weekend for Shamrock Rovers. They play Derry Friday, and then they're making the short trip to Tulke Park to play Shelburne on Monday. So how telling will that fixture be next Monday between the two Dublin sides?
Yeah, listen, it's no difference in Derry City playing Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's. I mean, they're great matches, aren't they? Like, you know, if you're a pundit now, you're going to watch and neutral, you're going to watch those games. They're really, really good. I mean, Shelburne, for me, under Damien Duff, I mean, they're the best coach team in the league, without a shadow of a doubt. And he is getting maximum performance out of every single of his players. You know, we chat about how much of an improvement Mark Coyle has come on as captain this year. He's been absolutely brilliant, probably the best defensive holding midfielder in the league currently, you know, and how much he's improved as a player under the guidance of Damien Duff and the Shelburne team. Every one of those players, the players that he picked up probably that were probably in teams where we weren't doing so well, and they just come in there and it's been magnificent, with obviously Jarvis on the left-hand side scoring all the goals as well. So, and there's still more players to come back into that squad. So they've been really, really good, performing at a really high level. So it's going to be a difficult weekend. We chat about Derry City and a difficult weekend with Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's. Shamrock Rovers have a difficult weekend with going to Derry and then away to Shelburne, because Shelburne won't be really difficult and they don't concede many goals, so it's going to be very, very tough. And they've turned over Shamrock Rovers already this season on a very convincing performance as well. So yeah, listen, two big matches for both clubs, that's Derry City and Shamrock Rovers, and Shelburne obviously as well. So it's an interesting one, and you know, we'll have a better idea how things go after this weekend. But it's really, really interesting. I just don't know how this is going to go. It could go either way for these two teams.
Yeah. So the fixtures this weekend, we've got Pats against Waterford. Shelburne start the weekend on Friday against Galway United. Bohemians are taking on Drogheda United and Derry City Shamrock Rovers. Those are the games on Friday. And as we said on Monday, Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers, Derry City and St Patrick's Athletic. And sandwiched in between all that, just finally, Declan, on the Premier Division, Sligo Rovers against Dundalk. It's not been a good season for Dundalk. They are yet to win a match so far this campaign. Bottom of the table, Sligo Rovers currently mid-table in sixth. You would expect Sligo to take the points in this one, given the fact that they are at home in the showgrounds against the bottom side.
Yeah, listen, you would think that. I suppose last year, Dundalk came up and put a really good performance and turned Sligo Rovers over in one of the last games of the season. And we were very, very convincing on the night, put a really good performance. And this year, as you say, that you know, they're sitting at 4 points bottom of the table. Nobody probably expected that. As a result of that, results haven't been good. Stephen O'Donnell's lost his job. Interim manager is Liam Burns, who previously used to play with Sligo Rovers, and Brian Garton. So they played two matches under their guidance of those two coaches. They obviously drew 0-0 with St Pat's, and they lost 1-0 against Bowes on Monday night as well. So you can see straight away, with two centre-halves involved in the squad, that defensively a lot better. So they're going to be harder to play against. I was just looking through the squad of players last night, and the quality of players they still have at their disposal is really, really good. So the performances are probably a wee bit, I suppose they're not to the level they should be, considering the players that they have at their disposal. And so they're looking, obviously, to push on and will come looking for 3 points. Sligo played in the first round of matches and won convincingly up in Oriel. I think it was 4-1. And they'll be looking for a similar performance. A big, big week for Sligo Rovers as well, because they're playing the teams around them. So Dundalk are down there. They've got Galway on Monday. And then they after that, and they also have Waterford after that. So there's four teams that will be in and around scrapping for that relegation zone and that drop zone. So there are four big matches coming up for Sligo Rovers as well, and it's important to get, obviously, kick off with 3 points against Dundalk. Can they do that? Absolutely. Their performances, the last two performances, haven't been great. They've lost 3-0 away to Shamrock Rovers, and they also were beaten by St Pat's 3-0 away as well. So and you know, they've lost a few players through injury, but they'll be expecting at home to put on a good performance. The performances at home have been very good by Sligo Rovers, so we'll be expecting something similar on Friday night. And then that brings you into the Monday night fixture, where you're playing the Northwest Derby against Galway, who will bring up a big crowd as well. They're going well, who don't concede many goals, are hard to play against. And, you know, it's a big, big weekend for Sligo Rovers, but also for Galway. But I'm looking forward to both games. It'll be very, very interesting just to see how they perform. But, yes, as I said to you, these are the start of two big matches for Sligo Rovers, with two bigger ones as well after that, with Drogheda and Waterford. And after that, you'll have a fair idea where Sligo will end up. But there are the four teams for me. We'll be probably down near the bottom scrapping for to stay out of that relegation zone.
Okay then, Declan, just finally, I suppose on a sad note this week, Fin Harps Football Club lost one of their stalwarts off the pitch in Derek Wilkinson, a man that held various positions with the club, a former chairman. He was a man that wore the Harps crest very much on his sleeve and close to his heart.
Yeah, absolutely amazing man for the club. I suppose when I started back in the early 90s, he was involved then, and he was coming down. He had his own business up in Bray, and he was taking John Jared McGettigan down, up and down from Dublin all the time. John Jared was living in Dublin, and I was up in Dublin myself. So we used to travel up and down, and, you know, it was always good fun, entertainment. But as you said, like, it was all about Harps with Derek. You know, he, as you say, done every job in the club. And even when he wasn't in the committee, he was still, you know, doing things for the club and looking after people and definitely. You know, we don't know exactly, but he did invest a lot of his own money into the club as well when things weren't good. But, you know, done an amazing job. And as you say, is a massive, massive loss to the Harps community. And our sympathies go out to the family. But an amazing, amazing man. And will be sadly lost in Finn Park and in the football community of Ireland, because he had so many contacts. He knew everybody. If you wanted somebody to do something, you'd ask Derek and he would go and do it. And there wouldn't be a word about it. There'd be no, you know, he'd done things very, very quietly. But an amazing loss, amazing man, but an amazing loss to the club. And yeah, listen, he sadly, sadly missed around Finn Park.
Yeah. Declan, many thanks for joining us on our League of Ireland talk this week, and enjoy the football coming up at the weekend. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Emmanuel.
Always good to catch up with Declan. Another busy weekend ahead on the League of Ireland front. And just to remind you, we will have updates tomorrow night from St Colm's Park, with Cove Ramblers hosting Fin Harps. Kickoff time is at 7:45. There is, of course, soccer action to be played in the Northwest at junior level, with matches in both Donegal and Inishowen. But there could be a title won in Inishowen this weekend. Cockhill Celtic, who have won 14 from 14 in the Premier Division, go to Greencastle on Sunday, and a point or another victory, a 15th of the campaign, and they would be crowned Premier Division champions. Okay, it's time for a commercial break. We'll return with more on The Score after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score as we turn our attention to Gaelic games, and the countdown is very much on to the much anticipated Ulster Senior Championship meeting of defending provincial champions Derry and their near neighbours Donegal. The match on Saturday is a 6:15 throw-in, and it will of course be live here in Highland. But before that, let's preview the big match as former Donegal player Eamon McGee now joins us on the programme. You're welcome, Eamon.
Cheers, Ashton. Good to be chatting. Looking forward to the weekend now.
Yeah. Does it feel like championship? We had weather early in the week, came in and it was like the middle of November. Does it feel like a championship week, does it?
It's hard to get, because normally the grounds are starting to harden up, you know, and when we look at the season, we're looking at it from our old lens, that this is the time now to kind of get up, move up through the gears, put in the hard graft. We normally have that break from league to championship where you just work really hard, and any wee weaknesses or where you're falling short of, you improve it and you get on top of it during the season, and you move into championship mode. But now with the new season, it's just straight on top of you, and it's hard to get used to that. But in my opinion, we just got to go with it now, because this is the nature of the split season. We knew this was coming, and we'll get used to it. It's just hard. It's hard to get the head around, and it doesn't feel like that champ. Like, I was going around with a snood there in bloody the middle of April, so it doesn't feel, the weather doesn't feel, the timing doesn't feel, but we'll adapt it.
We've no choice. We have to adapt. And listen, the games are coming thick and fast. And we heard from Pádraig Mógán earlier this week about there wasn't much time to celebrate their league success because the championship is so close. Do you feel that it is entertaining, that it is gripping, that these games are coming so quickly, Eamon?
I think, you know, the definitely the Division 1, at times Division 2 final, showed you that Gaelic football is in a good spot when it's played in the right spirit, if you get me now. And I think people can get lost. There's a lot of negativity out there. And, you know, that seems to be the way of the modern media, that, you know, negativity sells and, you know, grabs your attention. But there's a lot to like about where the game is at the minute. And we just need to give it a chance. Like the Division 1 league final between with Dublin and Derry was just gripping, a game as you'll get. And, you know, at stages during the Armagh Donegal game, it was as equally as gripping. So we're in a good spot as a spectacle, and I think, as I say, we're all adapting to the new season. We're all adapting to the condensed, you know, it's right on top of us. And I'd be positive about the way Gaelic is now.
Yeah. Listen, we don't want to see a change quickly again and maybe revert back to the old system, but I've seen GA President Gareth Burns has left the door open for the All-Ireland Finals to return at some stage in September. Now, that would mean that there would be another shift required by the clubs to adapt their championships to similar formats to one another and condense that. But listen, if that's going to happen, and if it was to happen soon, is it too early for yet another change, because we really haven't seen out the course of what's happening at the minute, Eamon?
I think it'd be too early. You know, the split season, for me, more or less, and we have to get the split season. The split season isn't right with the balance of it on the club side of things either. You know, I think that break from the end of the league, specifically I'm talking about Donegal here, I think the break from the end of the league until championship is too long. I think the split season in Donegal, you would rather, if I'm a neutral, you know, and I'm going out around the games, I'd rather see a few league games with our county players playing rather than, you know, just a team trying to get the 15, 18 players. You know, if you want to go down and see Kilcare or Unions play, you want everybody there. You want to see Niamh Connell and Gidore with all their county players. So that's where we need to kind of get the balance right too. Maybe Tyrone probably have the right mix where they have a few games without their county players and the last few games with their county players in the league. So we get the balance right. But in terms of changing it, you know, we have to remember why we changed it. The split season came in because club players just felt so disrespected and they were, like, I seen it firsthand in terms of, I was looked after. I was playing, training with the county now, but I seen club players nearly lose interest in the way their fixtures were switched about. And, you know, you couldn't plan anything throughout the season. And, you know, if you looked at the Donegal, the soccer league, and it's junior, but they still have a solid fixture campaign. You knew you could plan things around it. With the GA before the split season, you couldn't plan anything. You couldn't plan weekends away, or there was no structure, no solidness to it. So we can't go back to that. And I think Jarlett's, there's a wee bit, I like Jarlett and I like what he's about, but there's a wee bit of playing to the band too, in terms of we'll put it back to, put the All-Irelands back to September. If he can come up with a solution to how not to disrespect the club players, because we have to remember in the county panels, they're just a small percentage of the GA. So we have to look after the largest percentage. And I don't know how Jarlett goes about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait to see if there is going to be any movement in that from the GAA president. But our immediate focus now is, of course, the game on Saturday evening, Eamon, Donegal against Derry. We've all been waiting on this one since the draw was made. But I think it's fair to say Derry are now ranked as one of the best in the country, and this is going to be the ultimate test so far for Jim McGuinness's Donegal.
It's a massive test. It's a massive test. And I had my reservations about Derry before the season started now, but they've definitely sold me as All-Ireland contenders right throughout the league. And I think, you know, if you look at it logically, Derry are way out there in terms of favourites, and where Donegal came from last year, and Jim's he has progressed them, but like to catch up with Derry at the minute, it's a big ask to go at them now. But Derry are up there. You know, I still have Dublin as the number one, but Derry and Kerry occupy that number two spot, and you know, Donegal probably are down a few rungs now. So, but if there's any man that can catch them out, you know, that plan in terms of what Jim and Colm and Neil are planning, then you know that's that group that will do it and get the best out of the Donegal panel.
Yeah, I've heard you say it on numerous occasions. It's like North Korea in the Donegal camp. There's no information leaking out at all. We have to wait to see how we're fixed on the injury front. And will Patrick McBerty, Ryan McHugh, Brendan McCall, and Owen Bann Gallagher, four key players, feature this weekend? And obviously, Jim's going to have a plan of some sort for this game, but we're not going to know until come throwing time on Saturday evening how Donegal are lining out and what way they're going to take to the pitch for this game.
Ah, yeah, it's so exciting just to see, because as soon as that draw was made, and probably even before, you know, because he knew Derry are the, much like Tyrone in our time, were the benchmark in Ulster, that he was thinking of ways to take Derry down. And well, we won't know. I text Neil and I asked him for tickets, and I didn't ask him about injuries or anything, because I knew it's just, I wouldn't get an answer back. Like, so it's exciting to be going into it. I see they're looking at a sold out Celtic Park, and it's great to be looking forward to it. The provincials have lost a bit of their kind of the bit of their gloss, but even the fact that Mickey Hart, McGuinness are on the sideline, you know, All Ireland contenders, at home, and we're looking to put a dent in that. So it's really, really exciting.
It's fascinating the way that's been talked up. Obviously, it's Derry against Donegal, but as the days go on and the time get closer, it's Mickey Hart v Jim McGuinness. So it is. Mickey Hart's never beaten the Jim McGuinness side in Ulster Championship football.
And hopefully that continues now after the weekend there. But yeah, they're two big characters. They're two, probably, you know, one of the bigger personalities around. You obviously have McGinney there. Hart, Jim McGuinness, like that's three, and just the top of my head, three of the biggest personalities in terms of access and the way they're not afraid to give their opinion, and what they've done in the game. So Mickey Hart, he's a proud man. By all accounts, he wasn't happy at the way he left Tyrone. So there's that bit of him. And then, if you think that's not bothering him, the fact that he hasn't beat a Jim McGuinness side in an Ulster competition, then, Mickey will definitely be going all out to rectify, not just rectify, like firmly put Donegal back in their spot, as they'll say, because, we're hopefully going on the upward progression here now. And this is what it's all about. And anybody just raise their head, you just put them back in their place. If you're a top team and say, just stay down there where you belong. And that's what Mickey Hart and Derry will be about this Saturday.
Yeah. We've seen last year when Donegal played Derry and Ballybuffet. Listen, we conceded three goals. We could have conceded a lot more. There was lots of space there for the runners of Derry to come and attack the Donegal defence and get through it. How's Jim McGuinness going to go about stopping that sort of angle of play that Derry have and they can be lethal at, Eamon?
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, Jim will have a fair bit of an analysis done, and he'll know the ins and outs in terms of danger men, who's coming from deep, who's the inside men need marked, and that'll all be looked at, and certain players will be tagged now. It'll be interesting to see, does Donegal go really, really aggressive with the, not the kick out press, but the actual press from play? Do they press up, or do they just kind of maybe? That this buzzword that's doing the rounds in GAs is the low block, high block, mid block. Which way does Jim? We've kind of stolen them terms from soccer. Which way does Jim go with that? And the kick out. I think if you looked at the league final, and I was actually in Celtic Park for Derry and Tyrone game, that Orrin Lynch is a good keeper. If you go back to the kick out press, Orrin Lynch is a good keeper. But I've seen him struggle. I've seen him struggle with when the press is right, and I think there's joy to be had with Donegal with that, and that's something that they'll look at, that they'll go really, really strong on him and really go try to make, because we have big men out there, and they'll want to go along, and they'll want to. I think Conor Glass is the go-to kick, just the get out kick, and if we've got to nullify that.
Yeah. Obviously Donegal have their injury problems. If Brendan McCall is fit, I think everyone is in agreement that he's going to take to the tail of Shay McGuigan. And if he is fit, do you think that having missed so many games that he may be lacking in match sharpness, but he can still do a job against McGuigan on Saturday?
He will, but Brendan McCall is a brilliant, he's an elite athlete, as elite as he'll get in the GAA, and he looks after himself, so he's going to drop down, but in terms of where he's at, like Brendan McCall is as good a defender as what's about now. And I think his presence, if he's on the field, is really key to what, if Donegal have a chance here now. Paddy's obviously a big one, but for me, McCall and being that kind of stopper, he'll probably pick up McGuigan, and that's a big job now. But even his presence in there, because they'll have a go at the full back line in Donegal, and we need McCall and in around there, and I think he will have dropped off, but he's still, even at that, if he's dropped off a few percent, he's still a brilliant defender, and he's developed him to one of the a brilliant replacement for a selector there, Neil Magee.
Yeah, and listen, we're all hoping that Oisin Gallon can become the effective replacement for the likes of Michael Murphy. I feel this game has been set up that if Oisin Gallon can hit form, it could be his day, and probably this is the game where we will see really what Oisin Gallon is about, possibly.
I think so, and you have to remember we've talked about Mickey Hart and pride, Chrissy McCaig. Should Paddy not start, Chrissy will go over to Oisin Gallon, and Gallon gave Chrissy a fairly good runabout, and he's a proud man. He'll want to rectify that. I think if you'd listened to Chrissy throughout the years, when Paddy got that last minute kick to in Balbuffet against him, you know, of course, they'd held him up and for most of the game. Paddy came around the loop, put it over the bar. He was sore about that for a few months, so he'll be thinking away about Oisin Gallen, and you know, he won't want to get that run around again. And that's the great thing about for the challenge it presents for Gallen, because he's put himself on the radar, like with his club form and the way he's moving at times during the season, that he can be the go-to man. And you know, that's the top players will get that attention, and the really top players will respond and in a positive way and deliver, even though they're getting it. So it's another fascinating clash to see how they go at each other here.
Yep. Who's this a bigger game for, Eamon? Donegal or Derry?
Good question, Oisin. In terms of, you know, Jim has talked a lot about in the build up about this, in terms he's not getting the breaks in between games aren't enough to get that preparation done. So, you know, worst case scenario, he loses to Derry. Donegal lose to Derry. He gets a block of training that he's wanted, and he's able to work on things, and you know, able to do a bit of hard work, tactical work, and you know, go at the All Ireland series. Then, if Derry are beaten, does that put question marks over their kind of aspirations for an All Ireland title if they can't beat the Donegal team coming out of Division Two? Does that break do them the world of good, or doesn't it? So it's questions we don't know the answers. We don't know the answers to it now, but I think, you know, it's not the end of the world for Donegal should they lose. But for Derry, this is my own opinion, for Derry need to be going out and, you know, putting Donegal to the sword.
Yeah. If Derry are going to have a run on the Ulster Championship, could that be detrimental to them come the All-Ireland Series, because they would have played extremely tough fixtures because they're on the hard side of the draw? Because if they do come through against Donegal, they've got Tyrone, then possibly Tyrone after that. They have to, of course, get past Cavan on Sunday. But then you'll have an Ulster final before you go to the All-Ireland Series. Whereas you look at Dublin, the way they walk through the match against Meath, Kerry are probably going to have a walk in Munster. Could the Ulster, with this condensed season, could it be detrimental maybe to the team coming through Ulster come the All-Ireland Series?
That's the great debate. You know, it's funny because you'll ask different people that and look them up with different answers. Some throw at you that they're battle hardened. They come through the provincials and they've played tough games. Other people say they've really it's energy sapping, and they've given themselves so much to the Ulster Championship that it's hard to get up for it. In my own opinion, I think it's taken away from you that you're trying to, you know, get up and get to the levels all the time against top quality teams. And, you know, that the likes of a Dublin or a Kerry can afford just to peak, you know, go at the season a wee bit differently. But, you know, if Derry or Armagh, Donegal, they're trying to go all out here. And I think it's not really fair. And that's the thing for the provincial championships. They should be, if we're going at the split season, we're talking about structures, they should be disconnected from the All-Ireland, from the chase for Sam Maguire or the Talton Cup.
Yeah. Okay, then, just finally then, Derry, as we know, are going to be favourites for this, and rightly so, given their position in the league and how they've been playing this year. But this is a game that just don't write off Donegal, and do you feel him?
Oh, definitely. I think with the players that Donegal have, we know we've mentioned Gallen, Bren McColl, Ryan McHugh, Paddy McBrearty, Michael Langan. With that type of quality, you can't write them off, and especially with Jim in charge there and the drive that he's given them and the focus and the plan that he'll have delivered over the last few weeks, you can't write them off. And, you know, you have to say that Derry are favourites, deservedly so. But I still think they have a chance. And if I was to pick a team, like, I'm still waiting for the tickets off Neil's, so I'll have to go with Donegal and maybe not go against them.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Eamon, as always, we appreciate you taking time out to talk to us here in Highland. Enjoy the football at the weekend. Enjoy the match. And
cheers.
We'll see how things go, and talk to you soon.
Good man.
Big weekend ahead for Donegal, and indeed for Derry. A huge game for both counties this coming weekend, Saturday, 6:15, and once again The match will be live on Highland, and there's loads of preview pieces available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. You'll hear from Oisin Gallen, Ryan McHugh, Pádraig Mógán and Jimmy Brennan, all available now in the sports section on highlandradio.com. And we can't forget about that other semi-final as well, where Tyrone are involved on Sunday. We'll have updates from this game too with Francis Mooney. Tyrone heading into Kingspan Breffni Park to take on Cavan. And the winner of that game will, of course, play the winner of Donegal and Derry. And the losers from those games at the weekend, well, they're going to have a four-week break, so they are in the competition, because the All-Ireland Series starts on the weekend of the 18th and 19th of May. On the hurling front, there's a bit of a derby in the Christy Ring Cup this weekend. Derry are playing Tyrone. Owen Begg is the venue there on Saturday. There was a 1 o'clock start to that one. And then an hour later at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, Donegal, of course, will be looking to make a back-to-back wins in the Nicky Rackard competition as they take on Mayo. And there's also a number of minor championship games involving two Northwest sides this weekend. Tyrone and Enniskillen to take on Fermanagh, while Derry are on the road in Dunsully as they play Antrim. No game for Donegal this coming Saturday in the minor championship. Let's move on to the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. Donegal and Tyrone both learned of their opponents in the semi-final stage after last night's quarter-finals. Donegal, of course, will host Derry in Ballybuffet next Wednesday, and Tyrone are going to play host to Monaghan. Derry, of course, booked their place in the last four, having disposed of Cavan with 7 points to spare. A big game on the horizon for Derry against Donegal at McCool Park. And speaking with Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, Derry boss Hugh McGrath says they will need to improve if they are to take anything out of the game next Wednesday.
Well, look, quarterfinals are all about winning, aren't they, and getting over the line. Each game in the group is fine. It's, you know, it's, you know early on that you're through because we had a good result at the start. But knockout football is very different. We were nervous, we were jittery, and things weren't going that well offensively. Defensively, I thought we were very well set up. We dealt with Lovett very well. Really good player, and James Murray had done a great job on him. So for us, look, it's about getting scores on the board and getting the win. Performance-wise, look, we'll review it, we'll have a look at it, we'll take some learnings for it. But the learnings will have to come quick. Donegal in the semi-final in Ballybuffet is not the easiest task you'll ever be greeted with. But no, we're happy to get over the line, but we've a lot of work to get ready for the semi-final.
You touched on James Murray's performance. Like, he made a brilliant interception against Monaghan. Mm-hmm. He's a good defender, but you seem to have loads of communication in there as to what was happening. So is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, well, look, when you've the calibre of footballer of Rory Small in one corner, Finn McElhern in the other corner, and, you know, Danny McDermott and Paddy McGurk along with McGrogan in the half-back line, defensively you're solid, and you should be solid because you've the calibre of player that you have in there. Then you throw in Callum at the back helping out and making sure these men are on their toes. That's good, and that's positive for us, because I thought against Monaghan we were very open. I thought against Tyrone we left ourselves open at times. And again, against Down, we let them have some chances, both in the early part of the game and the latter part of the game. For us, it was about getting that tightened up, and I thought we did that quite well. Donegal will be a totally different proposition. They've some great forwards as well, but they've more than two or three men that need tagged. They've four or five men, and that makes the task that much more difficult. They also have men that are coming from deep. They're moving from back to front's very good, and it's at pace. So it doesn't matter how well you're set up defensively. If you don't finish the attack and you don't make the ball go dead, then you're going to put yourself under pressure for most of the night.
On tonight's performance, I think you get five in a row to sort of build you that half-time platform. And then Oisin's goal, 42 minutes, I think, probably give you that cushion. The missed chances after, is that maybe where the frustration comes in?
I think it probably is, yeah. Look, in games you want to see out, once you get the goal, your first instinct is make sure you don't concede at the other end, because you're at your most vulnerable. But from there you should be able to kick on, and we did kick on. Mm-hmm. The issue was that we didn't finish the move. If we go to Ballybuffet next Wednesday night and then don't finish those moves, we're in real trouble. But that's part of learning at this age group. We'll sit down, we'll go through the video work, we'll address it, we'll go out on the training field, we'll try and address it again, and we hope that this group, who've gelled really well, they're a great group. We hope they have another day after next Wednesday.
And with the big game on Saturday, it was always going to be in there.
Of course it was. Look, Saturday's game can't come quick enough. We're all excited about it. I'm sure everyone in Donegal is excited about it. But we'll just be excited about the Wednesday one as well. We watched Donegal up close and personal in Letterkenny last week. They'll not be easy turned over, especially not in their own backyard. So, look, it's an exciting day on Saturday, exciting one on Wednesday, and that's what you live for. That's why you play the sport, and that's why you're involved.
Derry Under 20 manager Hugh McGrath. Well, in motorsport, Eamon Kelly returns to the WRC scene this weekend at Rally Croatia, an event where he won the junior element last year. The Donegal man and Conor Mohan prepared for this event by contesting the Quattro River Rally, which takes place close to the Rally Croatia route. It's been a good start to the campaign, of course, where Kelly picked up a podium in the opening round in Rally Sweden. The Burr Stages Rally, round three of the National Rally Championship, is on this weekend as well. It takes place on a Sunday, and there's lots of Donegal men heading that direction to take part in that event. In athletics, there are two big competitions for Finn Valley athletes this weekend. Mark English will compete at the opening Diamond League meeting in China on Saturday. The Letterkenny man will run the 800 metres, while Finn Valley's Brendan Boyce will compete at the World Race Walking Competition in Turkey. Boyce will be joined by former World Youth Champion Katie Vale of West Waterford as they try to gain qualification for the mixed relay for the Olympics. And closer to home, the underage county championships are being held at the Aura Centre in Letterkenny. Boxing-wise, the National Junior 2 Championships for 16-year-olds will take place Friday and Saturday, with finals then on Sunday, and it's in Castlereagh, County Roscommon. Flying the flag for Donegal will be female starlet 57-kilo puncher Nadine Pearson of St John Bosco Boxing Club, Rafoe's 52kg standout Ryan Patton, and Carandona's 75kg kingpin Kieran Cunningham. While Letterkenny Boxing Club will host their annual tournament in the clubhouse also this coming Saturday. And there you go, that's it from The Score. Hope you enjoyed the show. You can of course recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, to all the elements of tonight's programme. But in the meantime, for me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.